From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Alaska is famous for its fisheries, but the state's seafood can't stay fresh without refrigeration. Many processors run ammonia-based equipment to keep fish frozen, and a new class in Kodiak aims to prepare the next generation of specialists. As KMXT's Brian Benoit reports, instructors completed the first classes just last week.
Chadwick Waters works for Leader Creek Fisheries in Naknek near Bristol Bay and is at the end of his in-person training.
This class was advertised to us through our facility manager, and he kind of told us that this would be a good opportunity to learn more, get more hands-on experience, and really dive into the depth of ammonia refrigeration systems.
Waters is pretty new to working with ammonia. Trainees like him start studying a six-hour online module before they make their way to Kodiak for a week-long course. He says the things he's learning are fascinating.
I started off as a processor at Leader Creek Fisheries. Then I went over to maintenance, and then from there I got put into refrigeration, and I enjoyed it. I liked the science behind it, and I decided to continue that.
The class in Kodiak is the first of its kind in the state. Waters and his peers learned from industry professionals in a newly renovated facility, the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center. Caleb Taylor works for Alaska Sea Grant and helped organize the training. He says processors used to have to send workers to the lower 48 to get certified.
Traditionally, they've had to send folks out of state to do this kind of training, and that state that they get down south isn't even necessarily for seafood processors.
Taylor says it took a lot of collaboration to put a class together. They had to prepare the training facility, schedule with Kodiak processors, and they reached out to processors across the state to send staff to train. Companies then paid those workers tuition, travel, and stay on the island. Tom Lance is the president of the Alaska Research Consortium, a nonprofit based in Kodiak focused on supporting the seafood industry. He says the organization conducted a survey of processors a few years ago that pointed to a huge demand for a class like this.
It highlighted what are the most important needs of the seafood industry in Alaska, and most of the large processors identified ammonia refrigeration as their greatest need, you know, filling those jobs before all their experienced people are gone.
He says refrigeration is another field facing challenges because of the national shortage of trade workers. Amy Duzz is the president of iWorkWise, a safety, health, and environmental consulting company. She says most processors used to rely on experienced workers training their successors over time, but that's not a reliable model anymore.
Now, with the problems in the employment market, it's getting harder and harder to rely on that, and there's more and more need for consistency.
Now that this class is available, processors can be a bit more prepared for when their more experienced staff retire. Duzz says having a class focused on refrigeration in Alaska means instructors can specialize on the specific needs of the state's seafood industry. But working with ammonia can be dangerous, though. At least one person died this summer due to a suspected leak aboard a factory trawler. Duzz says this class sets a baseline of safety precautions and can help fill any knowledge gaps for trainees.
Taking that off the shoulders of the people in the plants, I think, is really important. It provides that consistency, and employers will know what to expect and what that person knows coming in.
Waters, the student, says he's learned a lot from the class and is excited to bring it back to work at Leader Creek.
A lot of the safety procedures and documentation has been something that we really got to focus on, especially on maintaining equipment to avoid any unsafe practices. If you have the opportunity to learn refrigeration and you enjoy it, this is a good class to take.
The first two beginner classes wrapped up earlier this month, but organizers are already working on planning more soon. The ultimate goal is to have a series of classes for folks to keep up to date on the best practices for ammonia refrigeration. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Benoit.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
Those who say the pollock trawl fishery is playing a part in fueling the Western Alaska salmon crisis are putting increasing pressure on the North Pacific Fishery Management Council to take action to limit the number of chum salmon scooped up at sea by that fishery. KYUK's Evan Erickson has more about the council's latest move on chum management.
At its October meeting in Anchorage, the North Pacific Fishery Management Council took a small step toward a possible cap on chum salmon bycatch, passing a motion to consider a handful of alternative management schemes. There is already a so-called hard cap on Chinook salmon bycatch, which requires the trawl fleet to be shut down if too many Chinook salmon are caught incidentally. One of the alternatives for chum recommends caps ranging from 200,000 to 550,000 total fish, while another would only put a cap on those chum determined to be of Western Alaska origin. Yet another would have caps set based on run strength indicators from the Yukon and Kuskokwim Rivers and Norton Sound. Finally, a fourth alternative would allow the pollock industry to avoid a hard cap on chum bycatch entirely through an incentive-based system. In public testimony as the council met, Tanana Chiefs Conference Chief Chairman Brian Ridley pushed back against the idea of self-managed bycatch.
I want to emphasize that voluntary incentive programs self-managed by industry do not create accountability or fulfill the federal trust obligations to tribes. Trusting that commercial fishermen will do the right thing is not a solution on the table.
On the other side of the debate, Brent Payne, executive director of Seattle-based Trawler Trade Association United Catcher Boats, testified in support of incentive-based management.
We can incentivize individual captains to minimize behavior. We can reward captains that do a good job, and we can penalize captains that do a bad job. On a hard cap, you can't do that.
The next step in the council process is creating a federal environmental impact statement for these alternatives. The deadline for the EIS is July 11, 2025. By December 2024, the council says it will make its final decision on which alternative or combination of alternatives to pursue. Critics say the council has repeatedly failed to take any real action on chum, and that its most recent meeting was no exception. Tim Bristol, executive director of conservation group Salmon State, said economic concerns have skewed the argument.
As long as we are stuck in a situation where doing anything to reduce bycatch in a significant way has to be balanced against the profits of those trawlers, I think it's going to be directed fisheries and Yukon Kuskokwim communities that end up losing.
Frank Kelty, a fisheries consultant for the City of Unalaska, pointed out in his council testimony that some communities rely on those profits.
We're very concerned that if we had a hard cap that was very restrictive and we had a spike in Asian and Russian chums, it would shut down the pollock fishery, which would be devastating to Unalaska.
There are numerous factors muddying the waters when it comes to action that could ultimately cut into pollock trawler profit margins. One is the need to agree on how many of the chum caught at sea are actually bound for Western Alaska rivers. The council's preliminary analysis cites genetic analysis data going back to 2011, indicating an annual average of around 50,000 Western Alaska chum caught by the pollock fishery, representing roughly 18% of total chum bycatch. But that same analysis notes significant variability in these numbers. Another hotly debated factor is climate change, given that warmer ocean temperatures and a subsequent loss of prey have been linked to chum declines across the North Pacific. To complicate matters further, data indicate that roughly 68% of chum caught by the pollock fishery are not from Alaska waters, but from Asian sources, mostly hatcheries. The combination of these factors, increased competition for a dwindling food supply, could be a double whammy for Western Alaska chum. Association of Village Council Presidents Chief Executive Officer Vivian Corthy has testified that environmental factors should not distract from the need for quick action on bycatch.
What is happening in our villages and on our rivers is inequitable. It's unfair. Climate change cannot be used as an excuse not to address the problem we are facing.
With years to go until federal regulatory changes could take effect and the potential benefits of drastic changes in management could be examined, the calls to protect Western Alaska chum will likely continue to grow louder. The council's next meeting will be held December 4th through 12th at the Hilton Hotel in Anchorage. In Bethel, I'm Evan Erickson.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice-weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.
NOAA Fisheries is seeking input on its latest plan for management of the long, controversial Cook Inlet Exclusive Economic Zone, an area in Cook Inlet where commercial salmon drift fishermen say they catch the majority of fish. As KDLL's Riley Ward reports, the proposed plan turns management of that area to the federal government.
In April, the North Pacific Fishery Management Council took no action when faced with four management plans for Cook Inlet salmon fishing, including a federal management option. The area has previously been under the management of the state of Alaska. The United Cook Inlet Drift Association sued in 2020 over management of the drift fishery, and the council closed the Exclusive Economic Zone, or EEZ, to commercial salmon fishing in response. That move was widely protested by commercial fishermen, and after another lawsuit in 2022, the court sided with drift fishermen, opening the federal waters that year. But that was never meant to be a permanent fix, and the council should have decided on a new plan this spring. After that stalemate, NOAA published its proposed rule, called Amendment 16, today. Its plan would mean federal management of fishing in the EEZ and state management of salmon fishing in state waters. Federal management of the EEZ would usher in new rules. Commercial drift gillnet fishing would be allowed 4 days a week from June 19th to August 15th or until catch limits are met. Commercial fishing vessels would need a federal permit and have to follow certain monitoring and reporting requirements, and vessels could not participate in both the federal and state fisheries. NOAA says it developed this plan in consideration of stakeholder input and that it adheres to the Magnuson-Stevens Act. It would go into effect for the 2024 fishing season. The public can submit comments on the plan until December 18th, and NOAA says it will respond to all comments after that date and make all, quote, required modifications before publishing a final rule. In Kenai, I'm Riley Board.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.